You may be seated. The Lord's good.
All the time.
Yes, the Lord is good. I encourage you, often God, or we don't get answers to our prayers because we don't have faith enough to ask. Even though maybe it seems too small, or maybe it seems so big, how could it be possible? Don't be afraid to ask, believing in faith, for God to do a miracle. Because I believe he still does them today. In Acts, so you can turn your Bibles in Acts 20 if you have them with you, or your phones. Now, use your phones for the Bible, not Facebook. I did have a report from an 8-year-old that said they found it distracting sitting in the back because people were on their Facebook. They didn't give names. So, there was a CEO. He has had a rather hectic day. He was making a lot of major decisions through the day, and he was feeling exhausted. He decided to take a break and to get some ice cream. So he arrived at the ice cream shop, and he went in there and met the teller at the desk, and they said, "I would like some ice cream." They asked, "Would you like it in a cup or a cone?" He said, "In a cone." "What kind of cone would you like?" "You can have a wafer cone, a waffle cone, a sugar cone, a pretzel cone, a chocolate-coated cone." "I would like it in a wafer cone." "Are you going to pay cash, credit, or debit?" "Credit." "What kind of ice cream would you like?" "You can have mocha berry, coconut, moose tracks, butterscotch ripple, raspberry, cookie dough, bear claws, cookies and cream, wool paw. You can have chocolate ripple, pecan," and went on to share another about 100 flavors. The CEO, bewildered by all the number of choices, exhausted by all decisions, he said, "Forget it, I'm just going to go back to work." Decisions. We make lots of them, don't we? We make big ones, little ones, and lots of ones in between. In fact, lots of times the decisions that we make will set or alter the track of our life. How do we know we're making the right one? How do we make good decisions? What's our criteria for making a good decision? Maybe it has to benefit us. So if it benefits me, then okay. Or it has to be fun. I'm not going to decide to do something like that unless it's fun. It can't be too risky. Some people hate risk. They don't want to take risks. So I will do it as long as it's not too risky. There's not too many unknowns. I'll make this decision, but it's got to make me feel good. It has to be logical. If it doesn't make sense, it's not a good decision. Or if I can make money from it, then I'm going to do it. Paul the Apostle, he was traveling around the countryside. Actually, Paul traveled to a lot of different cities and a lot of different countries, and he was talking to people about Jesus, seeing some great things done, seeing people filled with the Holy Spirit. He was seeing people saved. Lots of good things are happening, seeing people discipled for Jesus. He's probably the greatest missionary the world's ever known. He gets to Ephesus. He's speaking. And he's speaking there. He's going in the public places, in the square where that was common for them to do. You go to the public square and you would share about what you wanted to talk about. He was talking about Jesus. He would go from house to house telling people about Jesus. Hasn't always been easy. He went through some tough times. He'd been whipped and he'd been beaten. He had been shipwrecked, and he had all kinds of people didn't want like him. They tried to stone him a few times. He had riots. In fact, probably if we were looking for a missionary to send somewhere, we might not send Paul, because almost every place he went, there was a riot was started because they didn't like his message. So it hasn't been easy. In the middle of all this, Paul says, Acts 20, verse 22. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." compelled. That's a pretty strong word. Do you know what compelled means? To force or oblige. To drive forcibly. Paul says, the Holy Spirit is forcibly pushing me to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem. In that time, not a great place to be a Christian. It's probably the most difficult place that you could be a Christian. It was the epicenter for people who hated Jesus and his followers. Jesus was crucified there. Peter was, or Stephen was stoned there. Christians were being beaten, abused, tortured, jailed, and even killed, all happening in Jerusalem. The worst persecution in the whole countryside was happening in Jerusalem. How did Paul know that the Holy Spirit wanted him to go there? Why would the Holy Spirit send him there? I mean, Jerusalem of all places. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not leading you there. If you've ever seen a butterfly come out of a cocoon, you see the cocoon and you'll see the butterfly start to come out, and there's this little wee tiny hole just at the one end. And as the butterfly is pushing or trying to push its way out this little wee hole, it takes maybe hours for this butterfly to work its way out and squeezing its seem rather large body through this little wee hole. But if you ever see that, do not help the butterfly get out. Here's why. It is in part of that pressure and the struggle that butterfly faces that to squeeze its body through that hole that forces fluid from its body into its wings, which it needs to develop its wings to be healthy. If you help it out of the cocoon, the fluid does not reach its wings and it will never fly the rest of its life. It needs the struggle to be healthy. Not many of us like hard times. Not many of us like to go through difficulties or struggles, but struggles make us stronger. James 1, chapter 3, or verse 3, says this, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Jesus, he goes with his disciples to where John the Baptist is. John is out in the desert. He is baptizing people. Jesus goes there, has John baptize him. The Spirit, Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And after this, this is what it says in Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Wow. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to a place where he was tempted. You understand that the Holy Spirit may lead us sometimes. He'll lead us. It will be a place of difficulty, hardship, and challenge. But he will give us the strength that we need at that moment to make it through. He will provide, actually, the Bible says, even a way out. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to a man. And it said, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Not easy. Not fun. Can you imagine 40 days Jesus was tempted as he was fasting and praying? He went through really difficult times, and it wasn't just for a little wee moment. It was for a long, extended period of time. But God provides a way out. Chris and I, we could have never imagined what it would be like to face the loss of a child until our second son, Matthew, died when he was 28 days old. I mean, that was the most difficult, one of the most difficult journey of our whole life that we faced at that moment. We were young. This is our second child, and we were confused. But it was the Holy Spirit that brought us through. He gave us the strength that we need to make it through. You see, still hard. Still a lot of pain. Lots of tears. It wasn't over in a day. It wasn't over in a week. It wasn't over in a month. It was years. That we still would reflect back and struggle. We remember his birthday and the difficult times where we'd see other children, and it would bring back those memories. But Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gave us the strength that we need to make it through. Now, you will never know what you can go through until the Holy Spirit leads you to that place and gives you the strength to do it. You can't say to Jesus, well, Jesus, I'll go there when you give me the strength. He says, go there, I'll give you the strength. Not often does he give strength before you get somewhere, but he gives you strength when you're there. We need to be obedient to where the Holy Spirit is leading us. Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, and he read in the Bible, and Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. You can read through the Bible and see how many people over and over again were led by the Holy Spirit. God guides his people and through their life by the Holy Spirit, says Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. It's a life of being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Herb if you would come up. Herb is one of our members here for quite a while. He's a pastor, and he has just maybe one or two stories about being led of the Holy Spirit, maybe?
A couple?
Now, you know what they say about old preachers? They never die. They just go on and on and on and on. No.
They just fade away.
So hopefully, Herb's going to share a little story with us. But
yes, we'll endeavor to. Sure. Has God talked to you lately? Is there anybody here that you've heard the verse, a voice of God? Yes, okay, Joe. Yeah. Why? Where are you listening? You know that we need to just draw nigh to God. And as I mentioned different things, I want you to know that you can hear from God today. You can hear from God in your situations. But we have to listen. We have to take time to listen. And that's the only way. And as we get more of a relationship with Jesus Christ, God will open our hearts and lives, and he'll bring us into a new dimension in him. God has spoken to children. Samuel was one that God spoke to. He called him, and This lad was brought into the temple. It's in the Old Testament. He was brought into the temple, and after he was weaned from his mother and father, and we see that Samuel was taken then and left at the temple because his mother Hannah had said, if I have a son, I'll give him to the Lord. And so that's exactly what she did. And Samuel became a great prophet in the land and all through the Old Testament. So we see that even young people, very young, can hear the voice of God. There was a time in which quite a few years ago that when I was saved, I was in the in this children's group, in Ripley, Ontario. And so that when I was there, I didn't know Jesus at the time. I was 8 years old. But as the sister was giving the altar call, I said, "Lord, can I go up there? When should I go?" And it was just like yesterday. He put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Herb, go now." I didn't see him, but I knew his voice. He speaks to you in different ways. It can be through another person that he will speak to you. It's definitely through his word. The word of God is truth. And when you hear the voice of God speak to you, you can line it up with this word, and so that you can stand upon it. There are many times that God will speak to you, sometimes in the night hours. You may be awakened, or you may be in a semi-sleep, that God will come and speak to you. But he loves to speak to individuals. If this was really the hand of God in our lives, that he will talk to us. It even speaks back in Genesis when Adam and Eve were there, and how that God, in the evening time, God would meet with them, and they would have a real worship time in the evening. They would... God would honor that. He just so loved to have conversation with you and I. And sometimes, if you have a friend and you talk to him today and you don't talk to him for a year, is he a very good friend? I don't think so. And so God wants us to talk to him every day, to yield our lives to him. And I'm just going to tell you one more thing, that if God talks to you to do something, if he talks to it for you to do it now, well, that's the time to do it, is now. Because I did this. I was working in a foundry, and I was there. I heard the voice of God about noon, and God said to me, "Go back to Bill, which worked in the back of the factory." So I said, "Well, Lord, I'm busy, and I got so many other things to do," and so I put it off. I said, "Lord, but I'll come early tomorrow morning, and I'll talk to Bill." So I got there a good half hour earlier, and I waited and waited, and Bill hadn't arrived. So I went down to talk to his helpers, and they said, "Haven't you heard? Bill passed away last night."
Thank you, Herb. Here's your Bible. Don't forget your word.
Oh, thank you.
How important it is that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we listen. Because we never know what impact that we could make or that we'd lose because we didn't respond when the Holy Spirit told us to do that. I don't know, are we making a decision on a career? Are we deciding or trying to figure out a relationship or what we're going to do in the future? Trying to figure out God's direction. Herb shared a story about Bill. It was just a few weeks ago I was at the chiropractor's that when I was there, I saw somebody that I hadn't seen before that obviously had injured their knee. And so I felt at that moment that I was supposed to pray for them. And I thought, oh, it's just me, because if you've known me, I should pray for everybody all the time. So I said, oh, no, it's just me. I mean, this is certainly not the place to do that. They had other people around helping them. And so then I left. And as I left, I felt I really should pray for them. And I asked, I said, well, Jesus, if this is really what you want, then let me see them next week and remind me to pray for them. And so I drove away, I left, I didn't pray from that time, and the very next week, I went back, I was sitting there, not thinking of anything, just checking my phone, waiting for my time, and all of a sudden, I heard the chiropractor ask the person, how is your knee? And at that moment, I remembered that I was to pray for that person. As they came by, I felt I should do it, so I just had to do it, and I went up to them, and I asked them, I told them who I was, and if it's okay to pray for them. She says, yes, I would really like that. And so I had a chance to pray with them. Sometimes we do get a second chance. Sometimes we don't. And so it's important for us to respond right away as where the Holy Spirit talks to us. So how do we know it's the Holy Spirit? How do we figure those things out? And how do we know it's not just us that's going on in our mind or our usual behavior? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead us with a gentle whisper or a nudge. A story in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 19, it says that the Lord said, go stand out of the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great, powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled the cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Sometimes we're looking for that obvious 2x4 across the side of the head to say, yes, this is God. But lots of times it's not that way. It's just a gentle whisper. And what do you have to be like if you want to hear a whisper? You have to be still. You have to be quiet. If somebody's whispering to you, you can't be busy doing other things, and you can't have a lot of loud noise going on. In our world, we love constant noise. We got music or noise of some kind all the time. It's hard to listen. It's hard to hear. Sometimes we need to just cut all that stuff out and be quiet and listen. As Herb said, the Holy Spirit often will use God's word. 1 Timothy 3, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Bible is God's word. It gives us wisdom. It gives us strength, encouragement. It gives us direction. It is actually life itself. Matthew 4 says this, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Are we feasting on God's word? The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us through what we're reading and what is happening so he can guide us and lead us in our life. The Holy Spirit will sometimes speak through somebody else. I know in times when we're not listening, when we're busy, when we're distracted, when we think we know where we're going, God will put somebody into our life and say, hey, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Have you ever thought of this? When he does that, I would encourage you, that make sure God confirms that in your heart, if that's what you're supposed to do. I don't go and sell everything you have and move to Alaska because somebody told you, especially in the winter. Don't do that. Sometimes we want somebody else to tell us what to do because it's easier or it seems easier. We need to be hearing what God's saying. Sometimes, though, when I've had it where somebody will say something and it confirms something I've already felt in my heart or my life. Or it points me in a direction that I should consider and look at because God is trying to say something to me through that. Acts 10, it talks about the Holy Spirit leading Peter with a vision. He's waiting for supper, he lays down, he's sleeping, and God gives him a vision that he needs to go and talk to somebody. He says, some people are going to come to the door, and you need to go with them. And just as he's coming out of this vision or this dream, he hears a knock on the door. The people are there waiting for him. So sometimes God will use a dream or a vision for you of what he wants you to do. Lead you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you a sense of peace or a feeling that, yes, this seems right. It says, Acts 15, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. There was just a sense of, yeah, this seems like the right direction. See, the more sensitive we get to the Holy Spirit, the more subtle he's going to likely be in our lives because we're listening and he doesn't have to be so obvious to us because he wants to lead us. We can learn to be led by the Spirit and navigate through this life. This life, I don't know about you, but man, I find it complicated at times. Don't you? With the decisions we have to make and with job factors and the economies and investments and things we should buy or not buy and struggles with bosses and relationships and people. It's like, oh my goodness, there's so many stresses and complications and trying to figure out what's the right thing to do. Should we confront it or should we just leave it and let God deal with it? We need to follow and listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a path for us to take. He knows where he wants us to go. One thing you need to realize that when he's leading you, he will never go against God's word. He will never say to you, that boss is bugging you, it's okay to go ahead and kill him. Because that goes against God's word. In fact, he's never going to tell you it's okay to hate him. Because that goes against God's word. Not okay. In fact, the Bible says we need to love them. We're thinking about our leaders. We love to complain about our leaders. The Bible says we need to pray for those who are over you to submit to their authority. Now, as long as they don't go against God's word, right? Once they do that, they cross the line because we're accountable to God first, to our government second. But to be led by the Holy Spirit, listening to what he has to say to us, doing what he asks us to do, is all part of being a Christian, a disciple of Jesus. See, we want to grow as disciples of Jesus. We just don't want to be the same thing. We don't want to just sit around and wait for somebody else to tell us what to do. We need to get it direct from Jesus. Don't wait every Sunday to listen to me talk. Seriously. Hear from Jesus yourself. During the week, let things that I say on Sunday be a confirmation of what God is already speaking to your spirit. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to do in you. That's how he wants to grow you. See, we open up our hearts. We open up our minds. We open up our day-to-day lives to be led by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. That's what he wants us to do. See, in Galatians 5, it says this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're here this morning. Many of us as believers and followers of you. Lord, we need to get deeper. We need to be more in touch with you and sensitive to what you are doing and saying and leading by the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we invite ourselves right now. We open ourselves up to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts, Lord Jesus, of love that would respond to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that when you whisper, we would hear it. And that we would be quick to respond. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Was even now.